Hello, James.
Hello, Jack.
James, we got to get into it today. No small talk will be had.
Okay. That's my favorite
Just
part, though.
hands, James.
Okay.
It's just hands.
Right.
All right. So today's hand. This one comes from the big game. Just kidding. 10-25 on PokerStars, and that's sense. But hey, this is just hands. If it's a hand, then it's in our purview.
Yeah.
It's a Zoom game in the UK. And yeah, I don't know much about this format, so I won't have too many reads on the player pool. Might make some assumptions.
Yeah.
If James, if you've got any big data that you want to throw into the picture.
Yeah, we'll see what I recall. I think it's interesting, like online, like they try and make the stakes seem bigger, and like live, it's like when it's live, like you always talk about the blinds, like, oh, it's like 2-5, 5-10 or whatever. And online, it's like, oh, I was playing like 100 NL, which is like 50 cent a dollar.
Yeah, this is some 25 NL action.
Yeah.
So we've got one main villain. Username is Myrashko, which is not very important. Maybe it's important, but I don't have any reason to think it's important. And hero has only 59 hands on villain, who has a 26 VPIP, 25 preflop raise, c-bet flop stat of 100%, 5 of 5. So not, I guess we probably just haven't seen that many. We haven't seen all the c-bets, most likely because it's Zoom poker.
Yeah. What?
So
Sorry, how many hand sample?
59.
Okay.
So that's what's kind of weird about this is like, I mean, I guess it's not that weird. We've seen like this guy VPIP 25% of hands, which is like 12, no, like 15 hands. And then only 5 times was able to c-bet. So one explanation for this is that he's just taking it down most of the time, or that this villain. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if, because it's Zoom, we just quick folded after seeing an open.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, the 5 times this player did get to the flop c-bet, so that's not much to go off of. This potentially means that this player c-bets a little too much, but we can't really make that much of it in a five-hand sample. So we know enough to say that this player is not doing anything too crazy in 59 hands. So this villain in the cutoff starts off with new stack of $25, which is the max buy-in. So chance that means the player is like topping up or just got knocked out. And the top up, I think, is kind of a pro-y thing. But I don't know. It doesn't, it's also 10-25, so
Yeah.
but I think we have to assume there's a reasonable chance that like this guy is just topping up. Hero has 36-54 in a small blind. And the person deemed the irrelevant has $25 as well. So effectively $25 effective stack.
We
Villain opens.
know, do we know
Go
what
ahead.
site it's played on or?
PokerStars
Okay.
in the UK. So villain opens to 75 cents, cutoff button folds, and hero is in a small blind with ace eight of diamonds. What do you like here, James?
This is like, I feel like you can go all three ways here. Like, I don't think you're really losing too much money like by folding here, but it's a little tight. Like the meta is like there's a lot of three bets. Like some people are playing like three bet or fold from the small blind because you don't want to give the big blind like the greatest price in the world. I guess like with this hand, like maybe we can dominate some more flushes from big blind. Maybe if big blind is not as much of a reg, like it makes more sense to continue as a call here. So that's kind of my question, like how fishy is big blind?
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna know, or we're not gonna get that information for sure. Hero did decide to call and says that, I can three bet here, but with this type of hand out of position, I like to flat, knowing big blind will often come along, creating more possible value if I hit. I think, we're 100 bigs deep with two players. So the implied odds they're not terrible or great. Like, we're gonna get to the flop with, if it goes three ways, SPR of, if it goes three ways, SPR of around 10 and or 11, I guess, 10 or 11. So I don't think like over flushing is that important. I do think like making two pair when our opponent makes one pair, we have a pretty good stack size for that. And a lot of times it's just going to be heads up. And I think we do know we're up against an opponent who we've seen three bet, or sorry, c bet 100% of the time. But again, they also seem like potentially a reasonably competent player. So yeah, I'm pretty much with you. Like, I don't think you can go too right or too wrong here with the information we have. I understand the bias towards wanting to play the hand. So flat in the small blind with ace of diamonds, not much to say about it. And we do have three ways to flop.
It is a bit better, like, if we're facing like a min raise, to like get in here, I guess.
Yeah, I
The
agree.
three x size, like, it seems like a small difference, but it kind of compounds over the streets. Like, having six big blinds in there versus nine big blinds is it's a reasonable size difference.
I also think like Zoom works against us in this kind of spot where I think I would have to think a big blind would be a lot less likely to flick it in an instance where when they fold, they get a new hand to play immediately. So I think the kind of like, villain has Jack three of diamonds and just flicks it in. I could see it, don't get me wrong, but I think you'll see a lot of players with more discipline in a Zoom game because they can just keep playing. But I don't know. I don't, like I said, I don't play these pools, so that's just a hunch, really. We have three players, two and a quarter in the pot, and effective stacks are just under $25. And we're hearing this all in dollars. I don't know if it is dollars. I guess maybe dollars is just like the official currency of PokerStars, which would be kind of funny, but it still would not be that surprising. Flop is eight of hearts, six of diamond, eight of spades. Pretty nice flop for us. Flop three of a kind with no flush draw on the board, best possible kicker, and backdoor diamonds. Me make sure I'm right about that. Yeah, we have backdoor diamonds. So hero checks. So I think it's worth talking about check or bet here.
Okay. I just want to check. So what's the case for bet?
The case for bet is that we won't ever have it check through. And if big blind, I think big blind is perhaps more likely to have an eight than cutoff. And so we can make sure we start building a pot against big blind. We can always check raise. We'll get some chances to check raise. But I think sometimes when we bet, we also might induce a raise. Because I think that a lead here can look kind of protection oriented. And that there's a small chance that cutoff is the kind of player who would try and punish that. I don't know if they would necessarily punish it through a raise.
Yeah.
So I lean check raise here. But I think
We also have the small data point that cutoff is c-bet 5 of 5 hands. And if someone's like a little bit over c-betting, like I could see them finding a lot of c-bets on this board, like with just
like
I have 2 overcards, I have the preflop raiser, I have all the over pairs c-bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be a really low c-bet spot, but I also don't really trust a field to actually do that. So I think that's smart. Hero does check. Big blind checks. Cutoff bets $1.48. So like 63% pot or so. Effective stacks just under $25. So what do you like doing here?
I like raise. I think like trying to think like with ace, like our ace, we shift them a little bit away from ace high hand, so like slightly more more pairs here that have to keep calling. We're deep enough that I think we'd want to start building the pot here to get all in by the river, and we don't want to like call and then maybe turn gets checked back and then we can only get one more street of value. I don't know, we could like call and then if turn goes check like shove river maybe. That's it's a big over bet, but it could be an option. But yeah, I like check raise.
That's like check raise. I think a lot of our range wants to check raise here, and I think we're definitely perceived to have bluffs. I'm not sure I would raise every eight, but I think when we have this kicker, we're more open to just kind of relentlessly pursuing value. And not needing to be as cagey about trying to induce bluffs or letting our opponent get there. And by get there, I mean like have a hand that maybe shouldn't be c-betting like king queen and just turn a queen. I think, big blind, like we might fold out some 6x. And I don't think calling is crazy. Like, I think if we think we can induce a lot of bluffs from or if we think there's gonna be like a lot of double barrels, triple barrels, if we think big blind has a lot of 6x and other types of hands that will call that will fold if we raise, then I can see a call making sense. I think part of it depends on, like if we think villain is doing a lot of c-bet bluffing, like more than they should.
Yeah.
Then I think call does start to look kind of attractive. Because I think part of the reason to raise here is if you think that the c-bet is actually like a lower frequency thing and it's a stronger range. Then I think that it's sort of like the time is just upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be pretty easy for cutoff to like over bluff future streets if they're too wide here with the C bet.
So I would say I'm actually more ambivalent than I expected. I know I said check raise, but I think check call does make a lot of sense. I don't feel particularly strongly about this street.
Yeah, I think just talking through it, like, I'm realizing that, like, if cutoff is stabbing here with a lot of air, which we thought, I think, is, like, fairly likely, like, there'll be a lot of future bluffing opportunities for those hands, which probably fold facing the raise here. Like, there's just going to often be some overcards, and cutoff will, you know, keep betting with bluffs there.
One reason to raise, which we haven't talked about as much, are when villain has hands like tens, and the turn is a jack, they may not feel as much incentive to like continue betting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm a little conflicted here. I think it just comes down to like how strong you think villain's range is. The weaker, the more I opt to call, and the stronger, the more I opt to raise. And the difference between those is really more just about like how many, I don't want to say bad bluffs, but just like low connectivity to the board bluffs does villain have. So Hero does call and big blind folds. Hero writes, I'm usually checking range in this situation. There's some potential straight draws available, especially if it's a big blind, but a lead here gets too many folds. I think that's a good argument. Cutoff is uncapped, and I want to let him bet any overpairs he may have. I'm calling here with the intention of check raising the turn. The only cards I don't really want to see are 7, 9, 10. And that's, of course, reasonable. I think where the strategy breaks down a little bit is if villain doesn't actually bet as many overpairs, which I think is possible. And I think the overpairs that are more likely to bet are the ones that we would most want to check raise against. So I don't totally agree with the analysis here, but I think it's well-reasoned, and I think the line is good. On to the turn. So the pot is 521. Effective stack is $22. So like 4.5 SBR. Turn is, I think, a great card for us in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of diamonds.
Yeah, okay. I was going to guess king or something.
So hero checks, and the villain bets $3.44. So we have the nut flush draw, we have three of a kind. 8-6-8, queen, two diamonds on the board. We have 8-8 of diamonds. Still like check raise?
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, will villain keep bluffing here on blank rivers? Like, if villain has like king jack or something, like, and they get called again. I don't think it screams like a great spot to go for it. And like, there's no flush draw on flop, right? There's rainbow.
No.
So like, it doesn't look like we have a lot of, you know, draws we can be sticking around with.
We have like maybe 9-7, 10-9.
Yeah. It's kind of tough to call turn though.
Yeah.
Out of position.
Yeah, I think like if we call twice, it looks like we have either slow played value or just like a bluff catcher.
I don't think river is going to be like seems like a good bluff spot for our opponent. And so because of that, I'm more like into, okay, let's try and kind of maximize if they have a queen or a worse eight or like aces or kings. So what would shove look like? It's a bit of an overbet.
Yeah, but it's not that big of an overbet. Like, I think our main raise sizes are smaller all in.
Mm-hmm.
If we call, then there's like $12 in the pot, $18 in the stacks, or $19 in the stacks.
Yeah, I kind of like shove, like, you know, if we had 7-9, that might be what we want to do as well. 7-9 suited, 10-9 suited.
This situation is also like plays into some of the value of raising the flop, because I think that we can tell a story of having more. It's almost easier to like have bluffs and to have kind of like middling pair kind of hands through a raise. When we call and then raise the turn, I just feel like we have a lot of eights and combo draws maybe, but like not a very attractive range to call, like make a bunch of calls against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't hate just call, because I don't know if I totally agree with you. I think a lot of players do. I think the average player, their range when they call the turn is very like one pair type hand. I guess two pair on this board, but you know, a six or.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable that villain would bluff again against that hand.
I mean,
we also have like almost, too many, we have like, a little to protect against.
Yeah. I don't think we have too many 6x like calling small blind. Yeah. I don't think we're perceived to have a lot of 6x either.
Yeah. Pair of sevens, pair of fives, pair of nines. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good point, though. We might not be perceived to have that many success.
Mm-hmm. What about raise small? We haven't really discussed that. One benefit of raise small is if our opponent picked up a diamond draw, they'll probably stick around.
I think that raise small is nice in that whenever our opponent has something reasonable, they'll stick around. Like, I think, so let me put it like this. I think raise small looks really strong, or it should, but our opponent might not pick up on that. And I also don't think most players would fold like diamonds. Like, let's say our opponent just has like jack 10 of diamonds. I just don't see that folding.
Or a queen, like,
oh god, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to, is like, does a queen or like a value hungry like pair of jacks or something, or an overpair, do those call the small check raise?
And if they call the small check raise, like, they're getting a pretty good price on the river, you know, like,
yeah, I don't know, just like, no one's, I just don't think many people take that line as a bluff, so I'd be worried about our opponent being wise to it.
Mm-hmm.
I also think those will bet the river potentially for a size that's larger than our turn raise will be.
Like king, queen.
Yeah, like king, queen, or aces or something.
Mm-hmm.
Our kings. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that strong feelings. I don't like shove, because I think it just, there's diamond draws that can't call.
Yeah.
And that queens could just fold, which I think is not good. So I don't care that much between call and small raise. I think it just depends on the field, like how smart are these players. Hero says that my plan was to raise, but turning the nut flush draw caused me to deviate. Not sure my in-game processing was quite as clear, but my thinking is that if villain has also turned to flush draw, decided to barrel again, I want him to have a chance to hit and don't want to raise him off it. In hindsight, I think if I more or less click it back, that sets up stacks for a pot size bet on the river, which can be beneficial if I improve to a flush or not. If I raise now, I think my opponent will often perceive it as I either turned a flush draw or I have an eight that wants protection from a flush, which are both correct up to a point. So an argument for flatting is it keeps my range more obscure. If villain holds aces or kings, which I'm very much hoping he may well shove if I raise, I think the call was a case of playing it too safe. I think this is, again, reasoning, good awareness. I think I disagree a little bit on how aces or kings perceives the turn raise, but I think if you're feeling like those hands are going to shove, then I agree with the conclusion that we should just be raising.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't really expect aces or kings to shove facing a small raise.
So we're heads up to the river. The pot is $12.09. The effective stack is $19.33. Recap the board. We had eight of hearts, six of diamonds, eight of spades, queen of diamonds. We have the ace, eight of diamonds. And the river is the five of diamonds. So we have not the nuts because there are boats, but we have the nut flush and we have an eight. What do we want to do here? Check or lead on this card?
I want to check. I think I think the case for bet is like if over pairs and queen X just checks back this river, which I can see happening sometimes, but like the benefit of checking is we give our opponent a chance to bluff. And you know, like I think like you could find some bluffs here, like, you know, opponent C bet flop with a lot of hands, got a queen on the turn, decided to bet again, and then like a flush completed on the river. You know, it doesn't really look like we're that strong in the small blind here. You know, it kind of looks like we have a lot of like one pair hands, you know.
Yeah.
You want to lead?
I think I want to lead.
Okay.
I think it's fairly likely that villain will have a lot of like 10-9 suited. So that's for somewhat reasonable bluffs. And I think that you're right that there's a chance there's a lot of bluffs. But I also feel like when there's a lot of bluffs, there's also a lot of queens. And I also am pretty confident our opponent will have hands like aces, kings, and maybe some other one pair hands. If we think those would fold to a small lead, then I don't like it. But my sense is that it's just such a scary river. Like 9-7 gets there and the flush gets there.
Mm-hmm.
That our opponent won't do much in value betting and might not even do that much bluffing if they're just like worried about all the value that we could have, which I think they would be reasonable to be worried about that. So I'm wondering if we can thread the needle with like a $6 lead or something and hope that other flushes will just shove. The other question is like, if our opponent has an eight, will they bet call when 9-7 and the flush get there?
Yeah.
I know we don't trust the players to raise value on the river, but I think when the flush gets there, and like it's like you have a new flush, you're facing this kind of not that big bet that might look a little defensive, I'm confident enough that we'll see raises. But It's a bit of a risky play. I think it's close. I don't think it's hard to go wrong between check or like half pot.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm wondering how important the 9-7 is and how important it is on our opponent's minds. I don't know. Like, I would never really have 9-7 here. I don't think the field really does that often. Like, it could sometimes, but like, I think that gets folded pre-flop and like, you know, it's tough to like just to call, you know, call turn with just 9-7.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I can see, like, yeah, maybe aces or kings, like, checks back here sometimes, you know. Our opponent also can't have, like, aces with the ace of diamonds, which might more freely value bet. Yeah, I think a lot of weak queens probably check back. So, like, those are some hands that might call if we bet.
Even though 9-7 and diamonds are kind of hard for us to have, villain can have those, which makes the thin value bets less effective. Because villain definitely can have 9-7.
I mean, when we raise
diamond. So you're talking about check raise, and then like you think we're gonna get called?
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's what you're saying, that like our opponent won't call like 9-7.
I'm saying that like I think aces and kings would be a bad bet on the river by villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Phil doesn't make it. And I even think betting an 8 is... I expect Phil to do it.
You're saying Villain's range is so strong that we're not perceived to have a lot of calls on the river?
I don't know that we're not perceived to have a lot of calls, but...
A lot of calls worse than like.
We have eights.
Mm-hmm.
But. Oh yeah, I don't think we're perceived to like. Call with many hands worse than aces.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting spot.
We don't really have too much queen X, you know. I don't know, what queens can we really have? Yeah.
So we'd be calling with like sevens, nines, those types of hands.
Yeah. So it's like we have a middle pair type hand or an eight or some draw that got really sticky. Yeah, that's interesting to consider. So yeah, I think that makes me like lead more.
Yeah, I don't have very strong feelings throughout this hand. and this last decision is also, I felt more strongly about it before we had this conversation, but so here's what happens. Hero checks, villain bets just under $8, $7.97 into $12.09. The effective stack was 1933. So there's about $11 behind if we shove.
Yeah.
The villain would be getting like around 4-1. I think we should shove.
Definitely.
But I think it's closer than I did before. But yeah, I think we have too much.
There's so many flushes that our opponent will have to call. Like, there's a lot of combos.
There's not so many. Like, I don't overstate it.
Yeah.
There's probably 9-7, 10-9, and then some percentage of, like, Jack-9, Jack-10, maybe King-10, King-Jack, King-9. Then possibly some, like, weaker kings, like King-7, King-4, King-3, maybe?
Yeah, 6.
King-2?
6, or the 6 is...
No, the 6 is a diamond.
Yeah. Okay. 5-4. Yeah,
6 is a diamond, queen's a diamond, the 5 is a diamond. We have the 8 of diamonds and the ace of diamonds.
Okay.
So there's, like, it's probably somewhere between 4 and 12 worst flushes in opponent villain's range.
Yeah.
And then there's a good amount of potential eights, possibly some, like, weaker aces, kings hands, which we agree I think would not be a good bet, but they're possible. I mean,
yeah,
you know, never underestimate opponent's ability to just, like, do crazy dumb things with aces. But there are definitely hands that beat us, like six is full.
Queens.
I think there is a combo of 8-6 and queens full, possibly queen. So it's like, realistically, there's probably 5 or 6 combos that we lose to. So we would need over 5 or 6 combos to call an average. And I think villain could feasibly fold a lot of eights and even some flushes, but I just don't think they will. So I would just shove.
Yeah. I think this is, like, a broader idea, but, like, it's tough I find it harder in, like, conversations about poker strategy to make the case for, like, being really nitty or not going for thin value, just because, like, you seem like such a bitch, like, you know? And so, yeah, it's like, it's just, it's not as fun or as, like, a macho of a case to make, like, oh, like, you know, we should just check back here and play it safe.
Villain can definitely play a strategy here where the raise loses money. But I think when our opponent's getting such a good price that we can lean on just bad calls from, like, hands like worse flushes, which maybe or may not be bad calls, and trips, which is hard to fold those hands, getting a good price. It's not that much money. I don't know, maybe this... you're playing against, like, a pro from some country where this is a lot of money. But for most people, $12 just is not that much money. So I respect... Oh, did we say what happens? Hero does just call.
Oh.
Yeah, so Hero does just call. I respect this call. I think it shows a good awareness of the actual dynamics that should be occurring in the hand. And I think it might be true that the way Hero should play against Hero, or the way Hero would play in villains a spot against the field, is such that Hero making the shove with ace of diamonds might be a losing play. I'll read what...
Because, like, the field isn't finding bluffs there.
Yeah. Here basically says, I was torn on whether to raise or not in game. Calling seemed too nitty, raising seemed wildly optimistic. As played, I think I have no bluffs if Ilan bets this river and I ship.
Yeah.
If you're radically bluff, a non-flush hand can take the ace of diamonds. I can't think of such a hand that gets there. Maybe 9-10 of hearts or 9-10 of spades could get there, but having turned a double gutter. But if I re-raise jam, I'm giving Ilan such a good price that I don't know if he would fold. Or I don't know what would fold. So I think that's where, like, there's conflict in the thinking right there. We are basically saying, like, I wouldn't bluff because Ilan wouldn't fold. Therefore, I have no bluffs.
Yeah.
And because I have no bluffs, I shouldn't have any value bets. That's the mistake. Because if Ilan won't fold, then you obviously should raise for value. And if Ilan will fold such that you shouldn't raise for value, then you would potentially want to have bluffs. I think it's a better argument to say, like, I just combinatorically would not show up here with enough bluffs for Ilan to ever call. And I think that is the case for just flatting and not shoving. It's not that Ilan, it's not that, like, if I had a bluff, I wouldn't bluff. Because if you did have a bluff, you should bluff based on this logic. It's more that it's so hard for me to have a bluff that it's really hard for me to raise for value with a hand that's not a full house.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's really different here if we have sixes full. So we're not, there's a really big difference. Because us having the ace of diamonds really reduces Ilan's ability to have flushes, especially flushes that are extremely likely to call. And also, we reduce Ilan's ability to have boats that beat our flush. So there's a really big difference between those two hands in this spot.
Any hands you'd like to bluff with here?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty close. Like, I wish I knew a little bit more about Ilan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I
say six.
The fact that I'm seven, not feeling so strongly.
Six, five.
But keep in mind, it also can be. It's obviously fairly frequently right to both bluff and value bet.
Yeah.
Like, if we think Ilan, like, if we ship here, we're shipping 19 to win 19, basically. So I guess for that price, we could definitely have profitable bluffs and this be a profitable shove. But we would need there to be a lot of, like, thin value shove folds or like bet fold bluffs.
Yeah.
So we would just need the bet to be wider. I think if the bet's not very wide, then it's kind of like one of the other is most likely to be correct. I think our 6x is probably the best type of hand to bluff. If we got here with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll continue with what Hero said. If I turned 10-9 into a bluff, surely the play would be to open jam the river. I don't know exactly what that means. I think maybe Ilan is saying, like, if he had 9-10, then he would open jam the river as a bluff, surely. I guess that kind of makes sense, or to bet as a bluff. I don't know if we need to open jam, but mm-hmm. to lead. And that's actually a good point, because that's a hand that, like, your bluffs here benefit from leading, because there's so much value that checks back that might fold.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Hero goes here. He says, if I can have no bluffs as played, I think the check is probably a mistake. In game, I felt like when the flush comes in, a large part of Ilan's range folds to a bet. And I want value from any triple barrel bluffs he has. A lead from me now looks like either a boat or a flush that's worried it will miss value. Still, in hindsight, I prefer a lead from maybe half pot or under, aiming for a side call from aces or kings. Queens will jam, I will call and be sad, but that's the game. As played, I'm still not sure whether re-raise jam is better than call. The range seems very thin on either side of hands that will call that I beat versus hands that beat me. Villain tabled 9-7 of diamonds. I surely miss value here. What is to be learned? I think the main lesson to be learned is just that players are not as aware of like the dynamics of ranges as you are for the most part. And they're thinking like, I have a flush or I have trips. That's a really good hand. It's not that much more to call. I call. And I think you want to make sure you put yourself in a position to take advantage of those weaknesses of your opponents. On the other hand, I think like this is a really well played hand in that I think you have identified like the right two decisions at virtually every street. And I think that they were largely close. And that you've thought through the hand very well. So I'm impressed. I think this was a well reasoned hand, even if I think you should have shoved the river.
Yep.
Hiro goes on to say, in my own hand review notes, I've labeled this one, in quotes, butchering a gift horse in the mouth, which might be overly harsh. I do think it's overly harsh. I think in a lot of ways, like, in some ways you got lucky, in some ways you got unlucky. Like, I think you probably should have won stacks by shoving the river. But I think you could have played the hand in a lot of ways and got stacks in. It just, like, was a cooler. So it's almost unfortunate that you got to this point in the hand where you felt compelled to just call instead of raise because the range that you would show up with is so strong. But I wouldn't be too overly hard on yourself. I think in some ways this is just kind of like unfortunate.
Yeah, I think the hero like correctly identified the spots to that are like a little bit debatable, and like showing that like hero not just shoving river blindly like kind of shows like a thoughtfulness about what the ranges actually are, even if I think we should have gone all in on the river.
Hero wraps it up. I love the show. Please keep doing the show. And we'll do our best with that, Sam. Oh, I guess this guy's name's Sam, but I haven't given away too much. Thank you, Sam. All right, James, appreciate you joining me as always, and look forward to the next episode.
Cheers.